to another episode of Hour of Healing, where each and every week we talk about life-changing conversations that are engineered to bring you healing no matter what stage of life you find yourself. I am your weekly host, Joe Deborah, and today we have a familiar friend of the show here, Dr. Bright AJ. He will be helping us discuss a very pressing topic. And the topic today is dangers of unfruitfulness. Dangers of unfruitfulness. But friends, before we even get in here, I know you all were looking forward to a continuation of the dynamics of wealth, where we talk about financial wealth. Don't worry, we will be bringing that to you in 1 or 2 weeks, because that will be the climax or the completion of the year. That will be our last recording there. And so we are working actively on getting that your way. We will be talking about financial wealth, how to be wealthy, and what to do with financial wealth. Yes, we will make sure you get that before this season closes. But today, we are talking about dangers of unfruitfulness. Because at the end of the day, if you are unfruitful, no matter how much financial wealth you get, you may just be blowing through it. But what do I know? Dr. Bright AJ is here to help us figure that out. So, Dr. Bright, please welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Dr.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so it's been a while that we got you here. We know you are a busy man, so we don't take it lightly. We are always very grateful when you are able to make time to come share with us and converse with us. We really do enjoy the times that we spend with you and the knowledge that God is able to impact to us through you. So we really, really thank you, and we are most grateful for you being here with us today. So, Dr. Bright, let's just get right into it so that we can get some healing done, because whenever I hear unfruitfulness, I am like, oh my God, they are just about to talk about all my procrastination and all those other things. So when we really talk about unfruitfulness, what are we talking about?
Thank you, Dr. Bright. Again, hello to everyone as we continue this journey to try to help ourselves heal in all different areas of our lives. You know, when I think of unfruitfulness, I think of one word, productivity. Productivity. And I think it's one we can all relate, especially if you work, because just about any and everything you do, that's something that's drummed into your head. Productivity. Yes. Productivity. Productivity. Basically, the question is, what is the return of investment? You know, whatever your company or even individually, if it's your own business that you found in, what is the return on investment of it? And so it tells me that all of us here, we are here with a specific duty and a specific task that we're supposed to produce something to keep going. Wow. And so when we fail to do that, the indirectly, a lot of cascades that can happen. But in a simple place, in a workplace, for instance, that means potentially the work could fold. And if it folds, guess what? If we don't have a job, we don't have an income, how can we afford the roof over our head? So even though it sounds very simplistic, when you extrapolate it, you kind of dig further, you realize why being unproductive or unfruitful can be a bit dangerous thing in the big picture.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for that wonderful elaboration on fruitfulness, being unproductive. And I can't help, Dr. Bright, as soon as you said productivity, my mind went to when I used to work in a clothing store. And you go in, you punch at a specific time, you punch out at a specific time. And so regardless of what you do within that time frame, you've been productive. You've done what you needed to do. And I must confess that there were days that I would go in, I'll punch in at 8 a.m. and around 1 or 2-ish, I will start slowing down on the level of activity that I am doing. And I mean, when it was 7, I punch out, and I've had a full day's job. So before we even go into this, I want you to shed some light on activity versus productivity, because based on my example, obviously there can be a huge difference.
So, you know, I find it interesting when they say productivity. One of the subwords in there is produce. And a lot of things that's going on now with the chaos, even in the country, is because we all clamor over the increase in price of produce.
Yes.
It tells you the importance of that which we're talking about here, the substance of it. But like you said, you can have an activity but without being productive. You know, you can be busy for nothing, as we used to say.
Yes.
You know, and the evidence is in the results. And so while some people can focus on the additions and subtractions, others are also focused on the multiplications and the exponential rate things are done. Because what one may accomplish in 8 hours, another may quadruple it in 8 hours. Correct. It's all about the potential that's in the individual. That means the source of it, the basis of it is there. It's what you're going to do with it. You know, we all been blessed with 24 hours in a day. The question is, how are we using them? Some are making impacts that will last generations over time, and others are barely. And I think of it, I couldn't help but when you make an example, think of the parable of the talents, where there was one with five,
correct,
but they doubled it, and yet the one with one made one. And it's the same thing. There was an activity or lack of activity versus productivity. So it's all about, I think, the measure the individual hopes to achieve. And that you can only do that when you know what your task is or what you're trying to, what your goal is, what you hope to effect, you know. And so that becomes a motivating factor that lets you not necessarily, so to speak, go through the motions. Wow. Because each and every one of them ties into the bigger picture. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for clarifying that for us. So if I have the opportunity to speak to my old self, I will say, hey, you need to produce more here. Worry about the multiplications and not the time taken. Thank you so much for that. But I can't help but to piggyback on what you just said, especially when you bring in the parable of the talents, which I believe our Christian audience will be very well familiar with, and that the fact that the one who had five was productive with it and so ended up with 10, but then the one with one, even though he had an activity of burying it, still did not produce anything. I think that's a very powerful imagery to give us. But I will ask a twofold question. You know I'm fond of doing that. And the twofold question is, you did mention in this scenario that it depends on what the goal is, that the task at hand. And so how do we determine what the goal is? And then I think we will be able to, after that, talk about how we measure productivity. So first, how do we even determine the goal? And then we can proceed with the second question.
Oh, very good, very good. I think, you know, especially with your audience, and most of us that may be Christian inclined,
correct,
you know, we're created with a purpose, with a task at hand. You know, when the scripture, the book of Genesis, says be fruitful and multiply. That was kind of a command. It wasn't maybe, if you feel like it, do this. You know, so irrespective of it, right from the get-go, we should be mindful of the fact that we have an expectation of us, that we're born for something. We are here for a duty and a task. And it's one thing to even be mindful of that and then try to figure out what the task is. It's another thing to be totally oblivious to even that. And I bring that, and again, when I think of it, for me at least, the more I think of it, the more I think of it in one word, either selfishness or selflessness. You know, when we talk about that example, even the prior conversation about activity versus productivity, when we're going through an activity, we just think about us how tired I am and, you know, what all the minimum I can do to get by. It's all, the focus is all me-centric versus when you go into productivity is what's going on beyond you.
Yes.
It's what's going for others. And so I think a lot of it, in trying to figure out what that goal is, we should try what motivates or what helps us to be selfless. What are we be brought for to achieve for those around us, not for us per se.
Wow.
You know, I think if we think of it that way, that helps shape our mind and we know, oh, what talent or what God has placed us to do and what he's calling on us to be able to do versus when the focus is on me and what do I get and how do I live my life, then we fall short a little bit. So I think the mind and how we think about that is equally important to help us do that. Yeah.
Wow. That's so, so important, and it's so true. I did not think about it that way, but with those two words, I mean, it's very powerful revelation there. Selfishness versus selflessness. Because at the end of the day, most of what we do in life will be judged based on these things. So I really thank you for giving us that imagery there. And so I'll go to the second part of that question, which is how do we then measure or identify unfruitfulness?
Very good question. So in a simple way, one of those would be impact or legacy. You know, there's a reason why they say a good name is better than riches. Basically, what is going by is what is the legacy? The way I always ask myself is, if you are not there, or if you take an anonymous survey of people around you, what are some of the adjectives that come into mind? That in and of itself, in a way, kind of defines you as the individual. And so the measure is such that, I mean, there's so many of us who probably growing up, you always got, oh, he's really good at this. You're really good at that. The question is, what did you do with that? Because even people around you, right from a young age, there was one thing that kept being reproduced. Oh, he's great at this. He's great at that. And then as an adult, the question, I have to go back and ask, what did I do with that? Because even if I didn't know, all these people were pointing to me, that which I had been tasked with, that which I was supposed to excel at and be a blessing to other people. I remember there was a few times when, you know, there's certain things I enjoy doing, but there's some days you're like, I'm tired or I don't want to do it. And then somebody comes up to you very, very sad and very disappointed because they give you a perspective that you didn't know what you were doing, what it meant for them. You just thought you were doing your thing. You know, and so to me, it's all about the impact. And it starts within your sphere of influence. You know, you measure it as such that what is the benefit of that which you've been giving to those around you. If you are there, do they lose? If you're not there, do they lose? Correct. If they can function status quo, whether you're yea or nay, then there's a little bit of a question mark there. So if you have an impact, you have felt your absence immediately because there'll be a missing link. And I think God in his own way, in a way, has also put a certain unique talent in all of us. Correct. The certain things you can do, I can't do. The certain things our brother or sister can do that another can do. It's rather unfortunate sometimes we shine a light on those that may be more external. You know, and then some of us, there are some people, all they do is they're peacemakers. They're quiet. They do the work in the shadows. But because everybody wants to be in front of the camera and do, quote unquote, get the stage, sometimes it makes some of us diminish some of the blessings and some of the talents God has equipped us with to be able to be fruitful and be productive. So, yeah, I think the measure really is all about impacting the people in and around us.
Dr. Bright, thank you so much. That's a very powerful revelation. And, you know, as you talk about impact and the benefit for others, I have a question from that, but I wanted to contribute this, that we live in a time, like you rightly said, that the focus is so much on who has the platform, who has the fame. And I, as soon as you said that, one of the things that I was reminded of was one of the most famous evangelists that actually lived in this country, United States, named Dwight L. Moody. I mean, Moody, for those who are familiar with him, will know that he was not a clergyman. He was, I believe, a shoeshine boy in Boston who eventually moved to Chicago area for ministry and all that. And he rose to a set level that, I mean, he had a very massive church. And his story goes that one time he had finished doing this massive program, and then he steps off the stage, and an older lady comes to him and says, "You need power. You need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit." And he goes,
"Look at
what are you talking about? I mean, have you seen the size of my church?"
Right.
And all that. But then he said that after a while, he realized that something was different. So he went to a conference in New York, and there he completely yielded to this power that the old lady was talking about. And from there, I mean, the rest is history. His fame shot up and everything. But I brought the story up not to talk about his fame, but the fact that history has it that Moody had over 50 old women And one of them being this old woman who actually confronted him about his lack of power, who would meet at the basement of his church every single week praying for him. And so
behind the scenes,
later in his life, when people will be crediting him for all these massive crusades and these powerful healings, he will tell them, I have people.
The backbone.
Yes, they are praying this into existence for me because they were the people who really prayed him into getting or yielding to this power in the first place. And so when you said that, I mean, it warmed my heart that we most of the time ignore the people in the background.
Right.
Because we see the glamour, we see right. the fame, we see the ones who are, I would say, the head of the snake. But right. most of the time, Dr. J, the actual work is being done by people who are unseen. They yeah. are in the background. Yeah. And so I think it's so powerful that you take us there right away in this conversation, that when we measure in productivity, what is the impact of what you are doing? It's not about who is seeing you, but for these women, the impact was the number of people that eventually are being healed through somebody that we see.
Yeah.
And so I think that's very, very powerful that you brought that up. And I will turn it back to you if you have anything to input there before I actually ask you my next question, which has to do with this topic as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of times, if you're answering that call and doing it right, some of the impact even goes beyond you. You may not even have a clue. You know, there are people probably in the hospital you work at who see you come and gone, and just without even having any interaction with you, picking and learning things from you.
True.
You know, and so when we talk about impact, it's your whole being. And as a Christian, it says, in whom we live, move, and have our being. That's your whole existence. It's not something you wear. It's not a tie. It's basically every day you get up and you put self down and try to see, how can I benefit somebody else around me?
Wow.
And there's a lot of opportunity around us all the time. I mean, we're also caught in self that sometimes all it takes is just for a few minutes, just saying hello, you realize all the need and want around us. And sometimes it doesn't need anything much. Just a word of encouragement, just a word of prayer.
Correct.
And so, no, I think really society has made it that we all want to be at the forefront.
Absolutely.
But we don't realize that there is some work that goes in on the back end. You know, there are people who have put the work in, like for us to be sitting here today. We've had parents, siblings, friends who dug in. And that's our job now, to try to also effect the same for others, so that wherever they are, you know, they can achieve that impact that God's called them to be able to do.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Bright. And that is so, so true. You said that, and then my mind just drifted to a patient of mine who came in. We had a full visit. And at the very end of the visit, I felt very encouraged to pray with her. And so I asked her permission if it would be okay for me to share a prayer with her. And she said, absolutely. So I went ahead. I prayed with her for a short time. And then after that, I recall she saying, thank you so much for doing this visit with me, but it's not really about the medicine that you did, but the prayer that you did. I mean, I do it so often, so for me, right. it's kind of become part of my practice, but right. I could only think about right. the fact that that was the least amount of time of the entire right. visit that I had right. with this person.
Right, right. And that's impact. Activity, productivity.
Correct. She started just glowing.
Right.
And so it appeared that that had the most impact. That was That's most it. Productive.
That's it.
As opposed to the entire time right. that I spent.
She could have had 10 physicians come and spend double the hours. The impact will not be the same. Because at Absolutely. That point in time, the need was not just the medicine. It was a bigger need.
Correct.
Which, through the Spirit, you were obedient and was able to lead to do that.
Wow.
And so that is very, very important. It literally, again, you were mindful enough to also put self. Sometimes you know, maybe I'm behind. I have patients waiting on me. I can, you know, so it's easy sometimes for you to brush it aside and say, no, I got to go to my next patient. But it's also being obedient and being aware when the opportunity presents. Because that may be the only interaction you have that with that person. Mm. That may be the only interaction. What if that is the interaction that leads them to being saved?
Wow.
And they're called that night. That is what this is about. It's wow. being ready, but because you never know. Yes. And what we may do that may seem simple and little to us may be huge on the recipient.
Very true. Thank you so much, Dr. Bright. And that, I mean, we've had you a few times on Hour of Healing, and so certainly our conversations are always great, but these are very powerful truths that you are sharing with us, and I really so appreciate you for availing yourself for this conversation to unfold the way that I pray they will unfold. And so I want to get us on the next topic that I said I was going to ask you. And that is really going back to what we were talking about being visible or being up front and those on the background. So my question is, what do you think we struggle more with? Is it the visible part of productivity, that is the action part, or the invisible part when it comes to the character, the self-control, the nitty-gritties that comes to eventually amount to selflessness? What, in your opinion, do you think that we struggle with the most, and why, if any?
That's a good one. I think there's a facet of each of that for different stages of life that become challenging. I think depending on what stage you are at or where you are in your journey, there may be times the visible may be the harder part, and there may be times where they're invisible. But as a general rule, if I had to pick, I think the invisible, the preparation part, that's the hard part, the harder part, because it almost feels like you put in a yardage in without any results. Nobody sees, nobody knows. And sometimes that preparation is not always where it's a sharps, it's a flat line. It could be a day, it could be a month, it could be a year. The question is, are we going to hold on and keep going? Wow. That is the harder part, I think, in general, because when it's time to shine, if you put the work in, that's somewhat easier. Period of putting that work in, maintaining that discipline, that consistency, that I think takes, because that's what's building that character. And scriptures in Romans, you know, perseverance breeds character, which brings hope. A lot of us, that part of it, because that's the invisible, that's the part with no quote unquote glory.
Yes.
Even though that's what sets you up for the glory. I mean, these ladies you're talking about staying in the basement praying, they were praying where there was no miracle then there. Absolutely. But they knew the miracle was the work they were doing. You know, so I think a lot of us, unfortunately, end up being unprepared. So even sometimes when we know what our call or measure, we don't put the work in to make sure we're fully prepared and we're fully able to handle it. We had yesterday, it's interesting you mentioned this, but there was a prayer drive at the church that I happened to go to. And, you know, we're ready for people where, oh, if you have any prayer, do you know the Lord? Can we try to help win people, win souls for Christ? So you think anybody that comes would be one that either wants a prayer, wants to know about what you're doing and everything. One person turns up who tells you they're a believer, but then starts asking you all these questions about why heaven is unnecessary, why, and you realize, wait, if you're not ready or prepared or mature, all of a sudden you might be the one.
The one needing prayers.
You know, exactly. And so I think the preparation part is vital, but sometimes that seems to be the hardest. It's almost like, you know, budgeting in life, in finances. I think you talked about one of the episodes that's, that will finish it finally. When you do the budget, that hard part is not the fun part. There's a lot of people, that is why we lack the discipline to be able to do that.
So true.
The fun is being able to buy whatever I want now, whether I have the money or not, on a plastic. Why are you telling me I have to put in work for 6 months to get out of debt and to pay this and do this and do this? No. Even though that is what will set you in the path of freedom. And so I think as a general rule, yes, it's the invisible part, because that deals with more the mental, that deals with more the mindset, that deals with more the heart. Whereas the visible parts, it's a little easier because you get the affirmation sometimes you think you're looking for. You know, you see the results, so it makes it kind of easier in some ways to keep going. But that is harder in and of itself, because if you're also not careful, then you lose what got you there. Very now true. You come to a point where it becomes maybe about people pleasing or you start to lose the focus of that. That's the part I see being challenging with that. Wow. If you're not careful, humility kind of goes out the window. Wow. Because now I've made it. Yes, I'm productive. Yeah. I've got all this. If you're not careful, it becomes, again, all of a sudden about self instead of selfless for other people. Yeah. So that would be, I mean, each has a challenge, but yes, that would be my take on that.
Wow, that's so powerful. And you know, earlier in this season, I believe when we talked about who is calling for you, we talked about making oneself more valuable. I remember one of the things that God gave us in that conversation was not neglecting your wilderness. Mm-hmm. That is where you are groomed. That is where endurance is built. That is where patience is built. Yep. That is where temperament, humility, and these are the structures that you build in your wilderness. But that is the least fun place. I mean, who wants to be in the wilderness?
Exactly.
I mean, it's lonely. It has a lot of sleepless nights because you have to be on your guard. You have to be attentive. And when we talk about these things, audience, I want you to understand, we're not specifically talking about Christian life. No matter what you are doing or no matter what you are primed to do, you will have a wilderness that you have to go through. As a politician, you need to go through your wilderness of building character, trustworthiness, humility, endurance, patience, so that you don't compromise on policies that will eventually lead to the detriment of your constituents and the entire nation that you represent. If you are in the business field, Dr. Brighton J just talked about that very eloquently when he talked about budgeting and things like that. That even applies to our homes as families. I mean, how many of us love budgeting? I don't. I mean, as a matter of fact, I try to punt it as long and as far back as I can. But that is really the way we will become financially independent. And so you have a wilderness, no matter what you want to do. The key here that Dr. Brighton J, I believe, is emphasizing for us is you realizing that that is a stage that you have to master. Because remember what he just said, if you don't master that stage, then you get to the arrival place and you start losing Yes, you start losing these things as he's sharing. So these are very powerful truths that he's sharing with us. And I really want you to understand and get this. We're not just talking about Christians. We're not just talking about people in the professional world. Whatever you're doing as parents, whatever it is, these things apply to you. That's why we call it Hour of Healing, right? Because everybody needs healing in certain aspects. So thank you so much, Dr. J, for that powerful truth. And, you know, as you were talking, I remembered a message that I heard. I believe it was from a Nigerian preacher, Joshua Salmon, but it could be somebody else. It was a Kenya Rima Fest or something, and the title was The Travail. And it's a message that really did hit home to me because when I was in residency, Dr. J, I actually started preparing a sermon relating what women go through in their trimesters with the Christian life. Mm-hmm. But this man of God did not only just relate it to the Christian life, but with life as a whole. And I think it was very, very powerful. I mean, he's a very powerful preacher. Yes. It was him. I think he's one of the great preachers of our generation. And so the work that he did there, I looked at my note from residency and I was like, wow, I'm glad I did not preach this yet. So thank you so much for that. And Dr. J, I want us to answer maybe one or two more questions so we can wrap up on the first part of this conversation. But I want us to talk about what some possible sources of unproductiveness or unfruitfulness are. What are some of the things that causes us to be not productive or unfruitful? And then I think that might take us into where we will wrap up and then we will pick up right from there next week.
Right. So I think always starting out with the self, a big part of it is mentality. Because for the individual, you have to have some sort of introspection. So depending on whatever environment you may have grown up in, you know, all those leave little scars one way or the other on all of us. And one of the things it can do is it can stifle your mentality. And that's the first part, because the moment you compromise there, you've already limited your ability.
True.
You know, if you've told yourself I'm not good enough, if you've told yourself, looking at my background, looking at all the ifs and buts, that means there's only so much I can do. You've already put a ceiling on it. And so my very first part, I think, is as an individual, embracing that, you know, I possess most of the resources I need to be able to accomplish that impact I believe I've been called to do, I've been tasked to do. The very first part is just being able to own that. If you don't, it's hard to even take the steps when you don't even believe in that. I think the self is very, very important, because these things, we learn them or meet at different stages in life. But one truth is, there's only so much another person can place in you if you don't have that within yourself, if you don't have that belief. And a lot of us, you know, we're told we're not good enough. We're told, you know, we're not eloquent enough. We are not pretty enough. We are not whatever the situation may be. And so when you've given that months and years and decades, it's easy sometimes to buy into that.
So true. So true.
So the very first part, I think training the selves, the mindset, and changing that mentality, drawing strength from others who have been able to break out of similar situations and quote unquote made it, to challenge ourselves that, you know what, our backgrounds may be that, but that's in the past. We can't change that, but what we can do is change going forward. And so I think that's cool. Once you start with the self, then the other part, obviously, which I think also plays a very important role, is the environment. That is huge.
Yes.
I mean, I believe that's probably, if not the most important determining factor in those who make it and those who don't.
Wow.
Almost every successful person will be able to point to the one or two people that became that pillar, that even when they got to a point, they themselves wanted to give up or let go, did not let them.
Yeah.
By the same token, you may be very successful, but if you have other people who kind of shut it down, guess what? Your goal will remain in the bedroom or in the boardroom. It will never come out. And so the environment you really find yourself, it's a huge... The more I have grown up, the more I've realized the importance of surrounding yourself with the right people. Depending on what it is you're trying to do or try to achieve. The absolute importance. So I always tell people now, the only place I'm selfish is picking friends or making friends. Because if I see anything that may not replicate or help me, guess what? I am not going to be friends. We may be acquaintances. I'm not going to be an enemy, no. But I devote my time and my resources to people who I think are better than me, who I believe will help build me up, who help push, help me come up versus, you know, either maintain the status quo or even go down. So I think the environment is equally important. Wherever you surround yourself with, you know, whether it's your professional goals, whether it's your personal goal, I mean, think of it, if you want to be, you know, successful in something and yet you're always doing something else with people who don't even believe in that, how's that going to play? A lot of us indirectly do that.
Yes.
You know, a lot of us indirectly, you know, we're like, I think I'm going to be a soccer player, the best in the future. Yet I'm somebody who, one, doesn't even believe I know even how to play soccer or who hates soccer. It really becomes something by diffusion gradually. Before you know, guess what? You keep drifting away from that. Versus if you contrast it, if I'm training with somebody who's already made it in the soccer world, they will be able to help me in the nuggets to help me improve and hold me accountable to that. That way I'll be able to get it. So I think, first, working on the self is huge, but then also making sure you have the right environment around you.
Wow.
Equally important.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Bright, for those powerful, powerful truths. And dear audience, we will be wrapping up on the first part of our conversation. You know, as he was talking about friends, I remember the quote that I had seen in somebody's house or so, and it says that friends are the family you choose. And so after seeing that, I tried to see a parallel or something biblically that will justify me incorporating that into my life.
Right.
And then I recalled a passage in the book of Proverbs that said that walk with the wise and you will become wise. It's not you may, but you will become wise. But the companion of fools suffers harm. And so when I remembered that passage, I was like, I got it. Very selective with friends now. And I think that goes to what Dr. Brighter J is sharing with us, because if you want to be a soccer player, but here you are hanging out with nurses and doctors, I mean, they are not bad people, but at the end of the day, maybe have one, not all your friends, right? So friends, we will be wrapping up here again. I will implore you to follow us on our social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, if you want to see the videos. And as I promised, once we go on our retreat mid-December this year, I will be uploading every single video from season 3 onto the Facebook page. It takes time, and we do work for other people too, so you have to understand. But we thank you so much for each and every week making the time to join us. I believe that you are being healed, and that we are all working our way by the grace of God to a more glorious future. And so we thank you. We thank you, Dr. Brighter J. Thank you so much for coming in once again. And we will be wrapping up this conversation for you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.